And so we'll change up a little bit, and I'll come up here for a change. So, it is a beautiful, beautiful, rainy Advent morning. But we are thankful for the rain, and we're thankful for everyone that is here this morning. Please be remembering Aubrey Vickers. He is in Hillcrest, now room 2314. So please be remembering him. So that's Hillcrest, room 2314. He's getting really good care. And as I say, I saw him middle of the week, and he was looking good. Now, like I told persons, a lot of people to me look good. So, they could be feeling bad, but they still look good to me. But he did look good. And so continue to remember him. Also, continue to remember all of our congregation. There are persons with both stated and unstated concerns, but we have plenty. And we are also very thankful for the blessings that we have. And so before I go to the birthday, because Brandon, I'm going to give you a chance to get your money ready, because we're coming after you this morning. And we'll settle up in a minute. But let's have a word of prayer and approach the throne of grace. Our Father, we do thank you for this day, for the blessings of this season. For we talk about the advent, the coming of the Lord. And he has come, and he will come again. And dear Lord, we are so thankful for that. We're so thankful for grace and mercy. We're so thankful for the atonement of sin, that we can be truly free and know that peace which passes all understanding. Dear Lord, we ask that you be with us today as we worship, as we celebrate, and also as we remember those that are upon our hearts. Be with us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I got to do some collecting. Brandon, you got a birthday, and so I'm coming after you. And so if everybody could, Carol, ring us up. Things up this morning. So our offertory hymn, we're moving this to the very beginning. We have some little ones. We want to kind of keep them a part of the congregation as long as we can. And so they have a lot of energy, so we're going to give them a chance. They're going to sing a song that they're hopefully learning and going to know and get better at it, Away in a Manger. So that's
it. All right, we'll sing all three verses of hymn 205, Away in the Manger. Let us stand and sing together.
As we bring our tithes and our offerings today, we are thankful for the opportunity that is given to us to share from all that you have given us. We ask that all that we give be used to further your kingdom and so that persons can know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Y'all are doing great with this adaptation, so this is good. If you would, please turn to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be basing our Advent readings, our candle celebration, and also the sermons through the month of December. We're grounding them in two basic books of Scripture. One will be from the Old Testament, will be, of course, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah contains over 1,000 promises of God to his people. And so we will be studying or selecting passages from Isaiah. So I encourage you today to turn to Isaiah chapter 2. We'll comment more about this in the sermon, but we'll share it as part of the Advent celebration. Following the reading of Isaiah 2, I'm going to invite the children to come up. We're going to integrate them into the service, and they're going to be part of the Advent celebration each Sunday. One of the things that's important is to learn how to come, to set, and to observe, and to see what is happening. And if we can accomplish that, we will feel like that the Lord has blessed us in a whole nother level. And so we will see how this works out. But if you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 2. And we will read verses 1 through 5. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established. At the top of the mountain will be raised above the hills. All nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, for to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways, so that they may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion and the world, and the word of God from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among nations. That's where that peace comes in. Provide arbitration for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. House of Jacob. Now, as a continuation of this, listen to these words. House of Jacob, come let us walk into God's light. Come let us walk into God's light. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, as we get ready for Advent and the children's story, one note. Please join us next Sunday. We will be having a baby dedication next Sunday. Miss Nora will be up front. Her grandfather and Mark's sister will be coming from New Jersey to join. And so we will all have a great time dedicating Miss Nora to the Lord. I can say Miss Nora now since Jesse's not here. Her name is Miss Pac-Man, by the way. So, but we will be happy to dedicate her to the Lord. So I'm going to ask Grace Ann and Alan, if y'all would come with me for just a minute. I got something I want to show you. And we'll go over here and sit down. We'll come over here where Phil is. Yeah. Might have to have some help. And if y'all need to walk with him, that's fine. If y'all need to come, it'll be fine. Come on if you want to. All right. All right. Okay. There you go. Yeah, we can sit down right there. Now, I got something right here, and I'm going to try to do this, and hopefully I can get back up. All right. Now, yeah, well, kind of low, too. I got something here. Do you know what these are? Do you know what those are? Do they look familiar? Yeah. Have you seen things like that before? They're candles, aren't they? Yeah. And when you have a birthday party, do you put them maybe sometime on a cake or on a cupcake? And then we blow them out. But we have these candles. See, everybody, we do have some candles here. We have these candles because we want to celebrate a very, very important birthday. And yeah, and we're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And just like when you and I have our birthday, when you have Grace Ann, you have your birthday, Alan, you have yours, we put candles on. Yeah, he's got to go after the candles. All right, so there they are. So look at the candles. These are the candles that we're going to light for Jesus' birthday, okay? And so, Dennis, if you'll come on up and help us out, we're going to light the first candle to celebrate Jesus' birthday, and we're going to do it every Sunday. Is that a good deal? Give me five. All right. All right. Yeah. All right, Dennis.
Wish my eyes on here. Are we there yet? Peace. Our Advent journey begins with rules of the road. We're on the way where God would have us be. And we're not there yet. But how shall we go? We shall go together as one body, living and trusting in one another. We shall go as this community of faith, working side by side and leaning into the grace of God every step of the way. We shall go in peace. We light this first candle.
Thank you much. Can still do it. All right. Very good. Y'all did great.
As long as you were talking, they were sitting there. You quit.
Yeah. Hey, we're learning as we go. All righty.
I'll give Jessica a chance to get back. All righty. Okay. Y'all did great. Okay. All right. This is encouraging. All right, Jessica.
You had to say that, didn't you?
Well, you know how it goes.
Our second congregational hymn will be 199, O Come All Ye Faithful. We'll sing the first and the third verses of 199. Let us stand and sing.
For the New Testament reading, we will be focusing on Acts during this season of Advent. And I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and we have verses 5 through 25, but I'm not going to read all 25. I want to focus in on a few verses, particularly 8 through 17. Now, as a forerunner to this, we find that Zechariah, of course, is a priest who will be having duties that he has been assigned, and we'll talk a little bit more about these. But he is preparing for his service to the Lord, and we're introduced also to his wife, Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zechariah have been without child. And of course, in that day and time, having children was very important. And it was very important to how you were perceived and received within a community. And so they had not been blessed with a child. And it had been, and they were getting up into some age. And then we pick up the text in verse 8. When his division, this is his priestly group, was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. Now, this is something that did not happen all the time. And so this was a great honor for Zechariah to be able to do this. And so this was something that was really special for him. And so he will go into the sanctuary. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Zechariah, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Now we will find that this is the angel Gabriel, same angel that will also appear later to Mary. Same angel that we see in the book of Daniel a couple of times. And so Gabriel was not an uncommon figure or messenger of God, because angel in the Greek really means messenger. And so Gabriel is here to bring a message, a very important message to Zechariah. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. Now, does that sound familiar? Mary also will have a very similar experience as well. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." We'll hear that one again as well. And so notice that when we have that disruption, that unexpected announcement, while our natural tendency is to be afraid, God's messenger reminds us, fear not, be calm. Or as we talked about today, and as this first candle represents, be at peace, be at peace, be at rest. Zechariah, don't be afraid, because your prayer has been heard. Now that's important. If you've ever wondered if God hears your prayers, there's your answer. And it's very clear. Their prayers had been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. John means Jehovah is gracious. Here we're seeing the graciousness of God in the promise of this son, John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and will never drink wine or beer. In other words, he was part of the group known as the Nazarites. And for the Nazarites, this was a vow that they also took. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now notice, for Luke and Acts, Holy Spirit flows through this the gospel and in the book of Acts from beginning to end. The power, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he is still in his mother's womb from the beginning. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now I'll comment on what that means more a little bit later. To turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. John's purpose is to get ready. Dennis asked, are we there yet? No, we're in preparation. We're in a season of preparation. Preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah will be announced by John, who we also know as the Baptist. Now, I won't read the rest of the verses, but to summarize them, this was a whole lot for John to for Zechariah to take in. And he had doubts. And so we find that from the time of the announcement until the birth of John, Zechariah could not speak, but the people knew that he had been in the presence of God. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Yeah, I wanted to bless the child before it was time to bless it there. Advent. What is Advent? It's a season that we are quite familiar with. What is it really all about? Advent means an expectation, something that we are looking for. Can be an event, can be a person, something that we may anticipate, an expectation of something to come. Advent really comes from a Latin word, adventus, or a Greek word known as parousia. Both words mean coming. Coming. The coming of the Lord. Now, Advent has been celebrated for quite some time. This is something that the early church very quickly got involved with. But by the Middle Ages, Advent had taken on a very, very particular form. And the understanding was, and this is like from the 1100s on, that when we're celebrating Advent, we're celebrating the coming of the Messiah. That's the first Advent. But there's a second Advent that we also celebrate, and a third Advent that we celebrate. The second Advent is that daily Advent of embracing Jesus in our lives. A daily commitment that we make. Remember, Jesus said, whoever will follow me will take up their cross. And they will take it up, what? So Advent is also a daily coming of Jesus, walking with Jesus each day. The third Advent is the second coming. Jesus has promised that he will come again and he will reign as that Prince of Peace. Three Advent. Now, when we think about all the different ways in which Advent has been celebrated, there are a lot of ways that we can do it. We generally look at the four Sundays, and you'll notice that we'll be talking about joy and love and peace and grace. All of these are important aspects of Advent. Spurgeon reminds us that peace is one of the most blessed words that we can utter and also put into practice. We have peace because of the forgiveness of our sins. Did we earn it? No. It's all grace. All of it. All grace. We did nothing to earn it. God meets us where we are, and we receive that forgiveness. Also, peace is the worshiping of us as a body together, remembering the things that we hold dear. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the one who forgave our sins, the one who has conquered death, the one who has conquered sin. We are so thankful that we can pray and approach the throne of God's grace that we hold in common, that unifies us. And we are thankful for the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because when Jesus ascended, we're not left alone. God's Spirit is with us. And so we have that presence of that Comforter, that guide, that Holy Spirit. Those are things that we hold in common. Those are those things which bring us peace as a body of believers. So peace, the candle of peace, is so critical to who we are. Now, generally, traditionally, on the first Sunday of Advent, and some of you may know this, some of you may not have heard this before. Generally, on the first Sunday of Advent, what are we really celebrating? And don't mind speaking up, because I would have answered a similar thing. What do we generally think of on the first Sunday of Advent? What are we preparing for? What are we getting ready to do? Christmas. There you go. It's part of the Christmas celebration. The first Sunday in Advent, traditionally, is not the celebration of the first coming of Christ. It is actually the celebration of the second coming. Did you know that? It's actually the celebration of the second coming. Christ will return again as that Prince of Peace, and we will be with him. That's the Advent, the first Sunday. The second Sunday is often what we read about today. John the Baptist, the one who would be the forerunner, the one who would tell us about the Messiah to come, the one who would prepare the way for that Advent, for the coming. The third Sunday of Advent is often the celebration of the coming of the Messiah, the first coming. And so we had an Old Testament reading from Isaiah that talks about the critical role that Jerusalem would play in all of those events. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. And then the fourth Sunday of Advent is one we're most familiar with. The fourth Sunday centers on Mary, Joseph, and the birth of Christ. So it actually begins with the second coming and ends with the birth of Jesus. And so a lot of times it's like learning to think in reverse of how things play out and how God works with us. And so we see this as a very, very important part of the Advent season and why we are here. Now, there are many ways that we celebrate Advent. One that you will see very often times is a tree which will have a lot of symbols and figures on them. We call them the chrismon trees. And you see symbols of the Messiah, of the early church. They're there to remind us of the Messiah. You'll also notice that we have greenery in the windows. Oftentimes a service referred to as the hanging of the greens. Again, recognizing green, of course, being life, new life, but also symbol of the Messiah. We also have Advent wreaths and candles, where again, we are remembering the coming of the Christ child. So as you come into this congregation, everywhere you look and everywhere you turn, what are you reminded of? Jesus and the coming. Child. Everywhere we look, it's all around us. We're in the midst of it. We are in that season of Advent, a very blessed season. Now, going back to the passages that we had today, when we looked at Isaiah chapter 2, 1 through 5, all of the world will come to the holy mount. That holy mount is Zion, and we understand Zion to be Jerusalem. Upon that holy mount, all the nations will gather, and they will hear God's word. They will understand the glory of God and the light of God, the presence of God. Now, Isaiah was talking about Jerusalem playing that central part in the presence of God. Well, the Messiah did come to Jerusalem. Think of that last week. The Messiah did come there. The cleaning of the temple. The proclaiming of the word. The Last Supper. Gethsemane. The trial. The scourging, the beating, and the willingness to take my sin and your sin upon his shoulders. And he bore that cross. A cross which was a symbol of shame and punishment, capital punishment. That same cross, we all know what it means. It changes our life. That which was used as a symbol of shame has become the symbol of victory, the symbol of forgiveness, the symbol of power. For the Lord's advent came for this. This is the center. This is the focus. This is the meaning behind it. And it's not over, because he lived among us, but that he ascended. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we are to continue to proclaim the good news until when? Until he comes again. And may the Lord bless whatever is happening there. May we take a moment. Remember, if someone is in trouble, if someone is in need of help, we ask for God's presence and God's blessings to be upon them. See, it reminds us, very opportune thing, in the midst of all of this, life keeps going on, doesn't it? In the passage in Luke, we're reminded, Zechariah, coming from a priestly tradition, is fulfilling his obligations. There were groups of 24 priests that would serve twice a year. And they would serve for a two-week period in a very special role. And this was Zechariah's appointed time to serve. In this service, as he goes into the sanctuary, to represent the prayers of the nation, Gabriel meets him and informs him that he will have a son. He and Elizabeth will have a son. But this is not just going to be any son. This is going to be a son who will prepare the way for another one to come. He will proclaim the importance of repentance. Of sin. To repent means to turn around, metanoia, to turn around, to turn your life around. This son, John, God is gracious. His purpose is to prepare the way for the Messiah. And we are told that many people were impacted by his ministry, and indeed they were. For you see, he provided the way for Jesus. And then remember the baptism, where we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit all coming together at one point. And John, who is preparing the way, is there as well. All of it. coming together in one very, very, very powerful moment. We are told that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is the one to bring peace. I want to share with you, before getting into the application, I want to share with you a poem that was written by Henry Vaughan. Henry Vaughan lived from 1621 to 1695. But the words that we will hear today in 2019 are just as powerful as when Henry Vaughan wrote them. And it's called Peace. The first six lines of this poem reminds us of the peace that we will experience in heaven. But the rest of the poem reminds us of the peace that Jesus brings to us. The peace that the manger brings to us. Don't forget to connect these two points. The manger and the cross. They're inseparable. They're inseparable. They all lead to the same thing. So notice what Henry Vaughan shares with us. My soul, there is a country afar beyond the stars, heaven, where stands a winged sentry, all skillful in the wars, there above noise and danger, sweet peace sits crowned with smiles. Heaven and the throne room of God. Heaven and God's throne. That's what he's talking about, that peace. Then he shifts gears. Remember what we sang? What was the first song we sang this morning? You can look back. Go Tell It on the Mountain. And then the first congregational song? Away in the Manger. Go Tell It on the Mountain. Isaiah, Jerusalem on the mount, the temple, away in the manger, the birth of the Messiah. Now, you didn't plan those songs that way, but they're there. See, God works even when we are not aware of what he's putting together. So, and one born in a manger commands the beauteous fowls. In other words, all of the angels. He is thy gracious friend, and oh, my soul, awake. Jesus awakens your soul by giving you life and peace. Did impure love descend to die here for thy sake? If thou canst get the thither, there grows the flower. The rose that cannot wither, the fortress and thy ease. Leave then thy foolish ranges, for none can see thee secure, but one who never changes. Now this is the critical point. For one who never changes, thy God, thy life, and that. And I'll give you a forerunner. On January 1st, we're going to preach on one verse. God the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Same thing that we mean here. Now, how do we pull all this together? What does it mean? What does it mean for us as we move through this Advent season? Well, several things. It's important to pray intentionally and to pray daily. Focused prayers are critical. And so this morning, everybody gets a homework assignment. So we're going to divide this out a little bit. Thank you. Bill, you'll get that half. I'll get this half. Yeah. Nora decided it's time to praise the Lord. Thank you. Everyone, please take one of these. You will see that we start with Galatians and we end with Galatians. And then in between, we're focusing in on Matthew and Luke. Now, you'll notice that these readings are not big blocks like we did when we were going through the Gospel of John. These are going to be smaller readings, a few verses at the time. That's on purpose. Focus on them. Let them speak to you. But then you will notice to the side of each verse, there's an intentional prayer. Pray for Berea Baptist Church. Pray that our ministry will flourish. Pray that God will fill these seats. And be prepared for what God will do. Try not to be doubtful as Zechariah was when the angel announced to him that there would be that child. These seats can be filled again. And God can fill them. But we have to be willing to receive. And to ask, and to be the witness that we are called to be. So please, take each of these readings, reflect on them, and pray. Earnest, focused prayer. This is our continuation. We're not meeting on Sunday nights for the prayer meeting during the month of December, but we have the opportunity to pray each day during Advent and approach the throne of grace. And so I invite all of you to do so. And we've got some extras, so if you've got someone that you'd like to share one with, please, on the way out, pick one up and we can make more. So that is something that we can do this Advent season. What's something else that we can do? Invite people to join you. We have special services each Sunday. Baby dedication. We'll have a cantata. We'll have a Christmas Eve service, a Christmas service. Multiple opportunities during this month for persons to come and worship and to hear the story of the Christmas child. You know, we were talking the other night, I think it was Wednesday night, we were talking about the fact, persons, and maybe even last Sunday night, persons not knowing what Christmas is, other than you go to the mall and what? Shop and get presents, or now, I guess, order online and wait for the truck to come. So the bottom line is, it's all about what? Getting your shopping ready. But do we realize it's about the Christ child? So let's invite, let's purposely invite all who we know. And you know, we all know that you may have to ask somebody 15 or 20 times before they will come. But you know, is there anything wrong with asking somebody 15 or 20 times? No. It's just we generally don't like to do it. But the Bible tells us something real important. You know, remember that story about the a woman and the judge? She kept coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back. Finally, what did he do? He helped her, maybe just to get rid of her. But he helped her. But what if somebody said, well, I'm going to get you off my back. And they come and they hear the gospel. That's worth getting somebody, that's worth, you know, risking getting somebody off your back. So let's invest and let's invite. Let people know here you can come to know the Prince of Peace. Now this next one I'm going to say is going to be really hard for me. I'm a person sometimes that's not known for a lot of patience. And I can kind of get agitated sometimes. And so this is a hectic season. And a lot going out. See you later.
Bye.
Hey, lead by example. So, in this hectic season, may we calm down. Not get frustrated. May we embrace that peace. And while everyone else is running around crazy, if you're calm and peaceful, what's going to happen? People might just ask you why you're so what? Happy, calm, and peaceful. And then you have an opportunity to do what? Share. Share the good news. Share why we're so calm and we're so peaceful. And then the last thing. May we ask purposefully for God's blessings upon Berea Baptist Church. Everyone who is here, we are a group of believers. We share in the spreading of the good news. May we intentionally commit to ask for God to bless this congregation. That the people will come. That we will grow. Because us growing represents changed lives. We're not just growing to grow. We want to grow because we have room. There is room at this end. There is room. And there is room for persons to hear the gospel. So may we be intentional in asking God and in approaching that throne of grace and asking God to open our doors, to bless us, to prepare us for the advent of those who will come. That's another advent that we can celebrate. Advent of those that will come. And remember, God has not left us alone. We have prayer. We can talk with Him daily. We don't have to worry like with a cell phone and a call getting dropped or the battery being charged. We can talk to God when? 24/7, anytime, whether it's charged up or not. We have that opportunity. And then, finally, be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to be your daily companion, to lift you up, to remind you that God has not forsaken you and that God is here for you. So, as we come to the close of this first Sunday in Advent, as we prepare to sing our hymn of decision, the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you have a decision you want to make, and you want to make it publicly, please do so. To either accept Him as Lord and Savior, rededicate your life, you can come forward, or you can do it right where you are. Also, I want to ask something a little different today. If God has put someone on your heart and on your mind that you know needs to be close to the Lord, I'm going to ask, And we can do two things at once. As we're singing, if you want to sing, sing. But if you decide you want to bow your head and pray for that person, please do so. Take that time to ask God to come into their heart. And if there's any way that you can be a part of opening that door, that God will show you the way. So as we sing our hymn of invitation,
hymn 175, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We'll sing the first verse of 175. Let us stand and sing.
In the season of Advent, we are in the season of peace, we are in the season of the birth of the Messiah. As we go, may we proclaim the good news and go tell it on every mountain and street and house that we embark upon. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.